لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ففروا إلى الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us many limbs. We have our eyes, our ears, our tongue. And all these limbs are important. However, inside of us there is one organ which is very small, which is called our spiritual heart. Not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart, which is called qalb, which is part of our ruh. And the importance of this heart is much more than all the other limbs. This heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our qalb, this is the seat of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. Is the seat of the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the seat of our feelings, our emotions. When truly a person purifies their heart and they activate their heart, then using their heart they can come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our day and age, one of the biggest challenges that we face is that we pay so much attention on our appearance, on our zahir, but we neglect our heart, our spiritual heart. Whereas in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this heart so much importance that on the day of Qiyamah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from each one of us is this qalb, a qalb that is pure, qalb-e saleem. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that this heart, if this qalb becomes pure, then everything about that person will become pure. Good. And if the qalb becomes impure, if it's corrupt, then that person's limbs, their actions, their thoughts, their feelings, everything will be corrupt. Shaykh Ibn Ata'ullah Iskandri Rahmatullah Alayh, he is one of the greatest mashayikhs of this ummah, and he wrote this very famous book which is known as Kitab al-Hikam, the book of aphorism. He is known to be the Luqman al-Salatu Islam of this ummah. Those words, those sayings are full of wisdom, very profound and deep. They're so deep that sometimes one statement is enough to change the life of a person. That book has a lot of qubuliyat and started many places. So today we felt that there is one statement that he actually mentions about qalb. And in that statement, what the Shaykh mentions, what he writes, is that one of the signs of the death of a person's spiritual heart, their qalb, is that when someone is deprived of doing any good deed, they don't become sad. And when a person commits any sin, they don't feel guilty or remorse in their heart. This is actually a sign that a person's kalb is dead. So in this statement, which is a very deep statement, he's pointing out two things, two signs of a dead heart. The first sign is that if a person misses or leaves a good deed, for example, a person, they miss their fajr, or a person, they miss their daily regimen of tilawat al-Quran, or they miss their daily regimen of muraqabah, zikr, or they have a habit of praying tahajjud, but they miss their tahajjud. And then if a person doesn't feel sad in their heart, this is a sign that a person's heart is dead. And that is why our akabareen, if you look at their lives, that whenever they would leave any good deeds or they would miss any good deed, they would always have gham and sadness in their heart. The Shaykh al-Hadith Mulana Zakari rahmatullah alayh has written that there was a person who missed his takbir-e-ula. Takbir-e-ula is that a person says Allahu Akbar with the imam in the masjid. So he became so sad that people would come and he would be so sad, they would think that maybe he has lost his child. So from this we understand that our akabareen, they would feel sad when they would miss any good deed. And the second sign that Shaykh Ibn Attawla Iskandri Rahmatullah mentioned in that hiccup is that a person will sin, and if a person sins but they don't feel remorse or regret in their heart, nadamat, and sometimes it happens that instead of feeling nadamat, the person feels happy. This is also amazing. And unfortunately, we also find this in our society. So this is also a sign, he mentioned, of the death of a person's spiritual heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us this ni'mat, our heart. And we are supposed to fill this heart with the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person fills this heart with muhabbat, then this heart becomes a place of remembrance of Allah. It's a place of muhabbat, it's a place of remembrance, it's a place of feeling that closeness. And that person who occupies his heart or her heart in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they can also feel the pleasures of the heart, the sweetness of the heart. And it's amazing that we derive pleasure by looking, by using our gaze in a way. We derive pleasure from our speech. We derive pleasure from our limbs. And if the heart is the king of all the limbs, so how much pleasure can a person derive from their skull? What kind of joy and sweetness can a person experience with their heart if the heart becomes occupied with the remembrance of Allah? And truly when a person's heart is occupied with this maza, when the heart begins to take pleasure, derive pleasure, then all the other pleasures of the dunya, they fall, they shade, they go away. Everything else becomes insignificant, because now a person has experienced a higher pleasure, and only a higher pleasure can take a person out from a lower pleasure. You know, the dunya and whatever the dunya has to offer, these just lower pleasures, pleasures of nafs. So we need to work on our heart, because the heart and the kaifiyat that a person has in their heart, it affects everything. It affects even the outward, the work that person does, the speech of that person. And if a person's condition of their heart is not good, so when they speak, their speech will tell that there is something, some problem inside. There is some sin, there is some fisk, inside. Their clothing will tell that there is something inside their heart. Their work will tell that there is something, a problem inside their heart. So the condition of the heart can actually be judged by how the person behaves outwardly. And some of our mashayikh, they could actually just look at a person, and just by looking, they would be able to tell that whether this person has his sahib is sohbat or not, has he sat in the sohbat of Ahlullah or not, just by looking at the chehra, the face of that person. Just like a doctor, sometimes you can look at your face and tell a bit about your disease. In the same way, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the spiritual doctors. They can look at the outward and they can tell that this is some spiritual ailment or illness inside. So there are two types of heart in the Quran. And this is a choice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That either we work to purify our heart, we make effort on reviving our heart, and we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of our heart. And if we do that, then the heart will be purified of the inner sins. And this heart will have the muhabbat of Allah. This heart will lose out all the love for unlawful, the ghairullah, the impermissible. This is called a qalb saleem. Iza jaa rabbahu bi qalbin saleem. Iza jaa'ahu rabbahu bi qalbin saleem. And if a person, this is the first option. And the second option is that a person doesn't pay attention on their heart, they become ghafil. They don't give it priority. They're focused about their appearance, about the zahir. And a person carries with them a diseased heart. A heart which has arrogance, which has lust, which has ghafla, which has doubts. All these ailments of the heart. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refers in the Quran that fi qulubihim maratun, that in their heart there is a maraz, there is a disease. So any person who has these diseases in their heart, for example, tama, a desire, an unlawful desire for someone. This is an indication that there is a disease inside the heart. If a person's gaze is not pure, if they have such feelings, unlawful feelings in their heart, this is a sign that the heart has a disease, that one needs to work on the heart so that these diseases can be removed. This is a choice between qalb-e saleem or a qalb-e mariz. Or we can say this in, there are two other terminologies sometimes people say, that one is qalb-e munib. That is also mentioned in the Quran. That waja'a bi qalbin munib. Munib, inabat. A heart that has inabat ilallah. A heart that has inclination, longing, yearning for Allah. Remember is Allah. And then the other opposite is qalb-e ghafil, a heedless heart. Or we can say in easy language, an alive heart or a dead heart. A heart that is alive. And then there is a heart which is dead. That heart which has the muhabbat of dunya, which is always thinking about the dunya, where there is ghaflat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a dead heart. And the heart which is has zikr, that's a live heart. So the heart becomes dead when a person has these two qualities, that they're deprived of good deeds, or they miss their good deeds, and still there is no sadness. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he has actually mentioned a few other signs about this dead heart. And he says that some of the signs he mentions is that a person, they continue to commit sins, and they think that Allah will accept their tawbah. And he says, hope for tawbah, but with that hope they continue to commit sins. This is a deception of shaitan. that a person continues with their sins. They don't make true niyat of tawbah. We think this is the last. You know, sometimes it happens that this is the last time. Let me do this one more time. One last time. One last time. And then after that I'll make tawbah. So this one last time, when a person starts thinking, this is niyat, that I want to do it one last time. And every time it's the one last time. And a person is not able to escape this. Similarly, when a person acquires ilm, but they don't do amal on that ilm, this is also a dangerous slope. Or when they do amal, but they do it for show off, that other people will see, other people will praise us. And if they're not doing it with ikhlas, for the sake of Allah. Or when a people, they enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take the blessings, but they forget the giver. These are all signs. Similarly, if a person is not razi with the taqseem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me so less? And why did Allah ta'ala give that person so much? This is also an indication that there is a disease in the heart, that the heart is in danger. Our mashayikh, they have written that there are some actions, some sins which directly impact our heart. And a question comes that what are the ways in which the heart becomes dead? What are those sins which make our hearts dead? So there are some sins which directly affect our heart. One of them is we misuse our gaze. In fact, the mashayikhs have mentioned about 10, there are 10 such sins that can affect our heart negatively. First of this list is that a person can misdirect their gaze. And when a person makes this their habit, then the result is that the heart becomes dead. Because when a person misuses their gaze, it's because of a desire of their nafs. And hence Allah Ta'ala puts a mahar, a meher, or Allah puts a lock or a seal on their heart. And this is also mentioned in the Quran, that when a person leaves, they take someone else as their ilah, despite having ill, then وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ, there is a seal that is placed on their qalb. And similarly, so sometimes for men, this is the challenge, that they have opportunities to misdirect their gaze. Another thing is to misdirect misuse our tongue. When a person, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he says when a person, their talk a lot excessively, and their talk does not contain anything beneficial, then this can make a person's heart hard. The heart becomes rigid, becomes hard. There is a hardness or darkness. So that's why even if you look at the Sunnah, we find that the Prophet ﷺ would speak less. Or when he would speak beneficial talk. Or he would be engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is a sign that if a person is talking non-stop, and their talk does not have the zikr of Allah, it's all about futile, vain things, non-beneficial, unnecessary, then this is an alamat. It can make a person's heart qaswatul qulub. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that excessive laughter can also make one's heart dead. Tumitul qalba. Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he has said that min alamate i'raz Allah ta'ala, that one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned away from a person, turned away his gaze of rahmah from a person, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person busy in futile activities, layani, unnecessary activities. That person is occupied, so preoccupied that from morning to night, they're just preoccupied with those mundane things, which are unnecessary, fruitless. This is one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy has been turned away. Then similarly, if a person misuses their ears, listening to backbiting, listening to slander, listening to music, the Prophet said that music creates nifaq, hypocrisy in a person's heart, like rain leads to the growth of fields in a land. Kama yumbitul ma'u zara'a, just like water leads to cultivation, in the same way ghina, music, leads to the cultivation or the creation of nifaq in a person's heart. So we learn that this is also another way in which the heart can become dead. To some people, and especially younger ones, they commit sins in their mind. And they're thinking bad, they're thinking impure thoughts. And they have memories, or they might have a picture of someone in their mind. Nafsani, shaitani, this muhabba. And this is also very dangerous, because to have some sinful thought in our mind, for that a person doesn't need to go anywhere. They don't even need to see anyone, but it's already always with them. And that's why our mashayikh, they say that the amount of damage these sinful thoughts they bring in a person's heart, there is no other sin like that. Why? Because you're constantly thinking impure, and because of that, constantly there is zulmat coming inside your heart. Constantly when a person is thinking about ghair, unlawful things, so there is zulmat which is coming and coming inside the heart. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that, and this zulmat, it's not about just thinking about some person. It can even be when a person excessively thinks about the dunya too much. They're thinking about the worries and concerns and the sorrows of the dunya. So he said that hammu dunya zulmatun fil qalb, that this fikr and sorrow and sadness and worries about the dunya, if a person is doing this all the time, then this can also lead to darkness inside the heart. And another thing that can darken a person's heart is when we spend company among the ghafileen. And this again is excessive. The ghafileen, the sohbat of ghafileen. That's why in our deen, the Prophet has encouraged us that save yourself from your majalif, those majalis, those gatherings which are futile. Don't go to such majalis. Rather, go and sit in the majalis of those people whose words will alive, make your hearts alive, whose words, whose gaze will purify your hearts. Sit in the majalis of the Ahlullah, the Awliya, the Ulama, the Sulaha, and save yourself from the majalis of the ghafilin, the worldly people, as much as possible, so that the noor of iman in the heart is not dampened, it's not weakened. In the same way, when a person, they have muhabbat of the dunya, this also is a sign that the heart is dead. When the heart becomes dead, it doesn't happen automatically the first time when a person sins. We should understand, in fact, in Quran, Allah Ta'ala gives us stages. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, initially a person is invited back, that you chose the wrong path, they don't become heedless of Allah. Allah Ta'ala sends reminders. And at each step that person is being pulled back. Pulled back on this path of zikr, pulled back on this path of deen towards Allah. But when a person constantly and continuously ignores these reminders, ultimately the heart becomes sealed. So there are some stages that happen initially. And we actually sometimes need to watch out for those stages. The first stage is when a person sins, there is some zulmat, or darkness that will come inside the heart. This is the first. This is what the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn, that whenever a person sins, a black spot comes on their heart. If they make tawbah, then that heart is washed away. And if they sin again, then that spot increases. A second black spot comes. So these black spots that come on the heart, they're coming because of our sins. Imagine that we spend so much time on purifying our face, on removing the black spots from our face, and then we allow these black spots to come in our heart. This is our mistake. This is the tragedy. That person who's spending so many minutes every day in trying to remove the black spots on their face, that same person cannot spend a few minutes every day to remove the black spots of their heart. Face is what the other people will see. Our heart is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. Our heart is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Our heart is the place where the taqwa, where taqwa resides. The heart is the place where one can attain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a polished heart, an illuminated heart, that is much better. But then, if a person, this darkness that comes in the heart, if it is not wiped away, then in the second stage, this darkness can become a rust, a layer of rust can come on our spiritual heart. And we learn this from a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that the hearts can also attain rust, just like metal can corrode. And even in Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, "Kalla bal rana ala kulubihim ma kanu yaksibun." That this ran, this crust or rust comes on their heart. Why does it come? Ma kanu yaksibun, because of the amal, the sins that they have done. And then, still if a person doesn't make tawbah, this leads to the third stage. If a person continues their sins, then now the heart, it becomes hard. The word in the Quran is qasavat. It becomes hard. And this qasavat, this hardness, does not come immediately. This comes gradually when a person continues to remain ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long period of time. If they continue to have a heedless heart, a heart which does not do zikr of Allah, when they spend their days there in such a way, in a state of ghafla, then gradually the heart moves towards that hardness. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel, that فَقَسَدْ قُلُوبَهُمْ that فَتَعْلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ that a long duration passed, and then qasat qulubahum, then their hearts became hard. So Quran is actually giving an indication that when a person spends there a long period in ghaflat without zikr, then after that the heart will become hard. And then sometimes the heart becomes so hard that it's harder than stones. The Quran says, Surah Baqarah, "Summa qasad qulubakum min ba'di zalik, fahiya kal hijara, aw ashaddu qaswa." That the hearts have become so hard now, they're like stones. "Aw ashaddu qaswa," or even harder than stones. because stones can sometimes break, waters or streams can gush forth through those stones. But this heart becomes so hard that nothing is able to penetrate. And then after this, if again a person doesn't make tawbah, if they don't leave their ghafla, then comes that stage where a seal is placed on the heart. Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala samihim. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placed after the excessive, their continuous denial and ignoring in accepting the hidayat of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala keeps showering his hidayah, keeps sending reminders, keep bringing them, tries to bring them back. But when they keep dismissing, when they keep themselves ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time, then they reach a stage where now their heart is sealed. A seal is placed on their heart. And then the final stage is that this seal is now replaced by a lock. The lock is placed on their hearts. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Then now how can they reflect on the Quran now that their hearts have a lock? The lock has been placed. This is the last stage of the end of the spiritual heart. So sometimes a person might be alive. They're walking, talking, eating, drinking. But inside their heart is dead. Just like when a person is inside the grave, they're dead. So really, it's all about the heart. When the heart, the spiritual heart becomes dead, then that person becomes dead. And for all practical reasons, that person has died. So, this is now the stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about the death of our spiritual heart. But then a question comes that, can we revive this dead heart? And that is also possible. That sometimes our dead heart can be revived. It's not like that the heart gets this lock and now this is over forever. The heart cannot be revived. No, but these locks can be opened. These veils can be removed. These seals can be removed. The darkness and the hardness can be removed. The blackness can be removed. But for this, there are some amal, some actions that need to be done. And the first thing, the first principle is just to have this ihsas, just to have this feeling in our heart that I need to make, that these sins that I'm doing, they're very dangerous. To have this, to acknowledge that I'm dying a spiritual death, I need to make some change. These sins which I'm committing, they are leading to my spiritual death. So these sins are extremely detrimental. I need to work on removing these sins. And then, what are those actions, those amal that can help a person in unlocking these dead hearts? Our Mashayikh Imam Qushayri Rahmatullah has mentioned a few pointers. About 6 or 7 points to which the hearts can be revived. And the first thing he mentions is to cry in remorse and regret with nadamat. That, oh Allah, the sins that I've been doing for so long, which have led me to this stage when my hearts are now darkened and blackened and sealed and locks are there. There's so much wail, so many wails over my heart. Allah, these are all because of my sins. I acknowledge, I admit. I don't want to justify. I'm not providing any rationalization. I am admitting that these are all because of my sins. And Allah, I have this remorse in my heart. You feel that remorse, that why? That I have hit myself. I have bruised myself. Like you say, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. That, oh Allah, I've done zulm on myself. I've bruised myself. I have blackened my heart. I've darkened my heart because of my own amal. Allah, I feel that guilt. I feel that embarrassment. I feel that regret and nadamat. And when a person has that nadamat, this will start the unlocking. This will start the reviving process. In hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-huznu jila'ul qulub. That this huzn, this remorse and regret that a person has over their sins, this is a way through which the hearts can become munawwar. Hearts can be revived, illuminated. And then once a person has this remorse, the next step is to stay away from sin, it's to leave sin. Leave and stay away, put a distance between us and sins. Tark. Because when a person leaves sins, then rakka kalbuhu, then the kalb, the heart will become soft. And if the heart was hard, to soften it, we have to remove sins. The more and more sins we remove from our life, the more sins we leave, we do tark, the heart will become softer. And we will feel that softness. Every person will be able to experience their du'as will improve. They will get the ability to cry in their du'a. They might get the ability to feel something, the closeness of Allah in salah, in sajda. They might get tawfiq to do more ibadah. Tawfiq of ibadah comes from Allah. It comes when the heart becomes soft. They might want to listen to nasiha, would be inclined to listen to nasiha. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah, he has in his tafsir, he writes that whoever saves his gaze from the ghair mahram, whoever saves his gaze from looking unlawfully at ghair mahram, those who are unrelated, then in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them such a sweetness of iman that the sweetness, they will be able to experience or taste that sweetness until they will meet their Rabb on the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, they will be able to taste that sweetness of that iman. Who? That person is able to control their gaze for the sake of Allah. Whoever does that, then awrasahu Allahu halawatan. That Allah Ta'ala will bless them, grant them with a halawat, a sweetness. يَجِدُهَا فِي قَلْبِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلَقَاهُ. A halawat that they will find in their heart on the day when they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman, is actually the nur of our qalb. It's the nur of our heart. So whoever saves their nazar, controls their gaze from ghair mahram, then they can make their heart munawwar with the nur of iman, with the nur of muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after having remorse and then making tawbah and leaving sins, then the third step is to do kasrat zikr. The more and more zikr we do, the more we'll be able to polish our hearts. In one hadith, the Prophet said, that inna li kulli shayin sakalatan, that for every single thing there is a polish. And the polish of the heart, zikrullah, this is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to do so much zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much, that the heart becomes alive. Kasrat zikr. When a person does kasrat zikr, so the hardness of the heart goes away. The heart gets basirat, gets the ability to see. That blindness of the heart goes away. That crust goes away. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, someone came to him and said that, oh Shaykh, my heart has become hard. How can I soften my heart? So he replied, so tell me, that when iron becomes hard, how is iron softened? And he said that we place that iron in a furnace, and that's how it becomes soft. So Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi replied that put your heart in the furnace of the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this hard heart will become soft. So we learned that we have to put this muhabbat in our hearts, and this muhabbat comes with zikr. That we remove the crust and rust by excessive remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Aqdas Thanvi Rahmatullah, he says that when I was young, I met one wali of Allah, a person of Allah, and I asked that Shaykh, that Hazrat, that how can I attain the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said to me that Ashraf Ali, rub your hands, rub your wrist. And I started rubbing my hands, my palms. And then he asked that, what do you feel? And I said that, Hazrat, there is some heat. I feel that my hands are burning. He said that, okay, continue rubbing. And I continued to rub. And again he asked that, now what do you feel? So again I replied, Hazrat, that burning sensation has increased. So he said that, now keep on rubbing your palm. And then again he asked that, now what do you feel? And he said that, I said that, Hazrat, it feels as if now the fire will come out of my palms. And then he said that, Ashraf Ali, that when you rub your palm with the other palm, you feel this burning, this hararat. Exactly in the same way, when you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you take this name, the zarab of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you apply this name of Allah ta'ala on your heart, so that the heart is also, you're pressing your heart, you're rubbing your heart with this name of Allah ta'ala. And when you keep applying the name of Allah ta'ala on your heart, it's like you're rubbing your heart continuously with the name of Allah ta'ala. And as you continue rubbing your heart with the zikr of Allah ta'ala, this will generate the muhabbat. This will generate the heat of the muhabbat of Allah in your heart. It will light up that intense muhabbat of Allah. It will ignite that flame of muhabbat of Allah in your heart. So if you want to purify our hearts, one tariqa that is established in the sunnah is that we should do kasrat of zikr. Kasrat de zikr. Because of this kasrat of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will remember us. Fazkuruni azkurukum. That if you remember me, I, Allah ta'ala, will remember you. And when Allah ta'ala remembers us, when Allah ta'ala remembers our heart, Allah ta'ala remembers by showering his rahmah, his anbarat, his tajalliyat, his fuzat, all words mentioned in the Quran. Allah sends those blessings and graces and nur into our heart, and ultimately that nur purifies our heart. The heart is becomes purified, and all the sins, the effect of sins, are removed from this heart. It's washed by that nur coming from Allah ta'ala. But what we do to attract that nur from Allah is that we remember Allah. First Quruni comes first, then Azkur comes. You remember Allah, then Allah will remember. And similarly, one type of zikr is this name of Allah Ta'ala. That a person thinks about Allah Ta'ala's name. And another type of zikr is the love of the Quran. Quran is also zikr. One Sahabi, when the Prophet said that the iron, just like the iron becomes rusted, in the same way, the hearts can also become rusted. So one Sahabi, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah, that fama jila'uha, that how can we remove the rust of our spiritual hearts? And the Prophet ﷺ replied, Tilawatul Quran. And he says, Quran can also revive dead hearts. have a daily regimen of reciting Quran. Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, he would say that if the hearts are pure, then a person will never tire from reading Quran. And if the hearts did not have the zulmat, the stain of sin, if they were pure and purified, then your heart will never tire, will never want to remove, will never want to move away from the love of the Quran. And similarly, one other thing that is mentioned in the Sunnah is to put ourselves in the nazar, in the company of Ahlullah. This is another way through which we can purify our hearts. The hearts can become purified if we put ourselves under the gaze of Ahlullah. In Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that al-aynu haqqun, that the nazar is haqq, that the effect of gaze is haqq, it's truth. And what this means is that just like an evil eye that is established in our deen, and then the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned the cure, that if a person is afflicted with the evil eye, what should they do? So one should imagine, one should think, that if there is a person who has a greed in their gaze, who thinks ill of other people, and with that ill gaze he looks at someone, he has evil intentions and he looks at someone, so that if that evil gaze also has an effect, sometimes a child becomes sick, sometimes it affects an animal, the animals become sick. So if the evil gaze of a person can have effect, so what about that person who has good gaze? What about that nazar, that gaze which is khair khwai, which thinks well about others, which has love for others, care, compassion, empathy, affection for other people, which has the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala in his heart? Will such a gaze not have an effect? Just like an evil gaze has an effect, in the same way, a person who has a loving gaze, a love for Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, a love for people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, when they gaze, their gaze also has an asr. It has an effect. So when a person, they put themselves under the gaze of the Ahlullah, so their hearts can change. The universe of their heart can change. This whole sequence of committing sins, this can be stopped. A person can get tawfiq to do goodness, to get taqwa, to lead a life of taqwa and taharat. They come on this path. So in summary, this heart is the most important limb that we have, our spiritual heart. And we have to ensure that we protect our heart, we don't sin, we don't allow any of those things that can corrupt our heart. And if there's already corruption inside of our heart, then we have to make tawbah of our sins. And we have to come and try to adopt these amal that will revive our dead heart. And it's interesting that for every house there is a key. And normally the house, the owner of that house, they have the key of that house. So if you look at a few things in our deen, Allah Ta'ala created Jannat, and Allah Ta'ala gave the key of Jannat to an angel called Ridwan. Allah Ta'ala created Jahannam, and Allah Ta'ala gave the key of Jahannam to another angel called Malik. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created his house, Baytullah Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah. And the key of that house was given to the tribe Bani Shaiba. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created the spiritual heart, the qalb of a human. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has kept the key of this heart between his two fingers. And we learn that the key of a person's heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala can change the heart whatever he wishes. When Allah ta'ala wishes, Allah ta'ala can revive the heart. When Allah ta'ala wishes, Allah ta'ala can lock the heart. This key is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my heart belongs to Allah. This is the heart. This heart is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the key of this house is also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the heart is the house of Allah ta'ala, and the key of this heart is also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we should try to keep our heart pure. We should try to purify our heart. And when a person purifies their heart, they will get reward from Allah. Yes. This is such a mercy of Allah ta'ala, that on keeping our hearts pure, Allah ta'ala will reward us. And what is the reward? The didar of Allah, the vision of Allah. The more and more our hearts are pure, the more there will be this insight in the batin. Person will be able to feel that closeness of Allah, and in akhirah they will be able to have that clear vision of Allah ta'ala. We must have seen in dunya also that people go 6x6 eyesight. And if you have perfect eyesight, then you can enjoy. You can see things that are beautiful as beautiful. You can derive greater pleasure. And that person has a blurred vision, was not able to see properly. They may not be able to enjoy that beauty as much. They can see, but might see with a blurred vision, or maybe not completely. They might not be able to see, appreciate the color of that rose, or the shade of that rose, or that tender, the tenderness of that rose. They're not able to enjoy. So we see this in the dunya also, that if you want to enjoy the worldly pleasures, you need to have a 6x6 eyesight. So on the day of Qiyamah, so some people, they will have a small dust, a bit of dirt and dust on their heart. So they will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Jamal of Allah ta'ala more. And those who have more dirt and dust on their heart, they will not be able to see that much Jamal and beauty of Allah ta'ala. And if the heart is completely sick, if the heart is completely covered with sins, with the darkness and blackness, then a person may be even deprived of the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Just like in the dunya, the eyes can become blind, the spiritual heart can also become blind. And that is the real blindness. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we come back to our heart, we try to make this effort on reviving our heart, on purifying our heart, because once this heart becomes pure, this is the most important thing. Like we said at the start, that the Prophet ﷺ said that إِذَا saluhat, saluhal الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If this heart becomes pure and good, then everything about the body, everything about the jism, about that person will become salih, will become good. But however, if this heart, there is corruption, وَإِذَا fasadat, it is fasad and corruption in the heart, then fasad al-jasad kullu. And that person will have fasad in his thoughts, in their desires, in their life, in their work. So the criterion is our heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq, that we can make mihnat, we can make mujahida on purifying our heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to stay away from sins. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Before we make dua,